T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios. Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
We are live from BB&T Center this evening, site of the Florida Panthers' fourth home game in a row and looking for a fourth victory in a row. They take on the New Jersey Devils. Live from BB&T Center this evening, my name is Chris Whittingham. I'm in for Alex Dono, who continues on paternity leave, still with his lovely new child, Luca. Luca Giancarlo Dono, just a fantastic name. And so Dono continues with his time off, so I'll be here this evening, as I will be again tomorrow evening, as the Panthers are back again in action. It is an incredible homestand that the Panthers are on. They'll play again home on Sunday, and so this is the fourth of six to be played at home. All the action, you can hear it right here on WQAM. Doug Plagans will be on the call. He'll join me for Crosstalk later on in this hour. Brought to you by Accountemps. Need additional help closing your books? Accountemps can find your right fit, like bookkeepers or other accounting and finance professionals, on a temporary basis and fast. Accountemps, a Robert Half company. So we got a lot to preview this evening in terms of this Panthers game with the Panthers taking on the New Jersey Devils, fourth of six games at home. The Miami Heat are also in action this evening. They take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Our producer, Tito Bonacci, is also efforting sound from Arsenal Fan TV after yet another loss at home in the Premier League to Manchester City. That is, of course, our favorite team, so we want to enjoy some Schadenfreude later in the hour. Perhaps we can effort that sound. I'm only kidding. For those of you that don't know, Arsenal Fan TV is a terrific phenomenon, and one, frankly, that should be copied around the globe, including in this country. So Arsenal is a club in the Premier League in England, and their fans are very passionate, particularly in the last, 6 years or so, where basically they have been living out the movie Groundhog's Day, which is to say that they have had the same manager, they've had roughly the same squad, and they've finished roughly in the same place in both the league and in Europe. And so Arsenal fans are frustrated they haven't kicked on to compete for a championship, and that their American owners are so cheap. And they voice these complaints via a YouTube channel called Arsenal Fan TV, where straight as fans leave the stadium, there is a microphone that is placed in front of their face to vent and complain about what they just saw. There's delightful English accents. There are people shouting the word bruv in order to be very angry about what's going on. And so perhaps after another 3-0 loss to the eventual champions, the champions just continuing on their way to coronation in the Premier League, Manchester City. They lose 3-0 at home today in the Premier League. So I perhaps want to enjoy that later on the show. Right now, though, we should talk about the games that are going to transpire this evening as it relates particularly into the Miami Heat. They take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Heat coming in 32-29 after the big win on Tuesday night over the Philadelphia 76ers. They can at least kind of start looking up in terms of the standings. There are three games up in the Detroit Pistons, who are chasing them for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Right now, though, Miami just a game back of Milwaukee. They lost a game last night to the Detroit Pistons, so Miami now a game back of Milwaukee, a game back of Philly as well, but Philly two games up in the loss column. They have games in hand. Indiana continues to lose games to tanking teams as well, and so they are only just two ahead of Miami in the loss column. So Miami could do well with a win tonight over a Lakers team that come in pretty hot. They've won their last three games, albeit all against teams that you could say comfortably are tanking at the moment. They are 7-3 in their last 10, and among the few teams that aren't really in playoff contention that you can say are trying, because they don't own their first-round pick. And so they are trying to win games. They're trying to develop with their cast and crew of young players. And so we will see tonight the kind of effort that the Lakers put in. The big story ahead of this one for the Heat is that they will be without Tyler Johnson, They'll be without Wayne Ellington, obviously already without Deion Waiters. So that guard rotation is going to be pretty thin heading into the night. And we also heard from Eric Spoelstra this morning at shoot-around that Dwayne Wade will not be starting tonight. They want to continue to bed him in with the second unit. They want to continue to kind of keep his flow relatively the same in terms of getting into the game and, you know, contributing in that fashion, running a second unit, particularly as a playmaker off the bench. The Heat don't have a ton of that, and so to have that in with the second unit is more valuable than him alongside Goran Dragic. We've seen, you know, 2014, 15, 16, that combination doesn't really work particularly well, and so you continue to see Wade working with the second unit and then closing out games. And so we will see tonight Dwayne Wade coming off the bench even still with all these injuries in the starting rotation for the Miami Heat. So that does kind of lead you to ask the questions of who starts and where. I imagine we'll get that answer relatively shortly from the Miami Press. Eric Spoelstra does love to trot out a line when it comes to these kinds of lineup conundrums. He'll say, I'll hand in my lineup card in 30 minutes. He just telling the local press in his kind of pregame presser, quote, when he was asked if he knew the starting lineup, he threw up his hands and said, quote, I don't even know. And so it is interesting to see who will start. You can kind of imagine the scenario, right? So if Wade doesn't start, there's no Ellington, there's no Tyler Johnson. You'd imagine maybe Josh Richardson gets bumped down to shooting guard. Then you pair him with, you know, Justice Winslow and James Johnson, perhaps Justice Winslow and Kelly Olynyk. Because obviously you can kind of play Olynyk as a power forward and Whiteside as a center. So there's any number of ways that you can go about doing that in terms of rejiggering the lineup so that you can get the right combination of players in while keeping Wade on the bench. But it does kind of lead you down a territory where the injuries do kind of solve some issues for Eric Spoelstra, because you go through that list of players. There are a lot of guys that are log-jammed in positions right now. They maybe even throw Rodney Magruder in the starting lineup, he coming back from injury and perhaps can sort of play that role that we've seen the Heat go with before at other positions where they basically start each half and that's all that they play. You recall during the Big Three era, they generally did that with the center position where, like, Zydrunas Ilgauskas would start both halves, but he wouldn't play in the remainder of the half. And so That is also a possibility tonight with a player like Rodney Magruder, but it really is a difficult situation for Eric Spoelstra, but one that I think going forward, he actually might be aided by injuries, because you look at the sheer number of that kind of combo guard position, that 2-3 kind of position, and now I will say, in kind of the abstract, that's a pretty well-constructed roster, right? Because in the modern NBA, having a bunch of guards that can play, make, and shoot is a good thing. Having 3/4s, James Johnson, Justice Winslow, is a good thing. But I'd say just right now there is too much that the Heat have on their roster to sort out. So they don't really have enough at point guard, right? Because you have Goran Dragic, but I don't think you have an option behind him that you feel comfortable saying he is your primary ball handler for even 12 minutes a game. Now, at this point, it's probably Dwayne Wade, but I just think that there isn't enough there, but kind of everywhere else, they're a bit too stacked. They're obviously a team that's built on balance. When you look at, you know, the percentage that each player is taking of the salary cap, there really isn't one, save for Whiteside, that's really taking up a massive chunk of the salary cap. And so you're at center, and I was talking about this with Ira Winderman last night. You look at center. They have Hassan Whiteside starting. You can pair him with Kelly Olynyk, and you have Bam Adebayo that you're bringing off the bench. And so, realistically to me, in modern basketball, you play one of those guys at a time. You're not playing multiple centers at a time. You're not even really using any one of them as a big man. And so, to me, the modern NBA is two guards, two forwards, and a big. And so, when you're playing Olynyk and Whiteside together, you at least kind of get away with it because Olynyk is almost has the offensive skill of a wing in terms of being able to shoot from the outside, being able to playmake as well. And so you don't really have that kind of, you know, conundrum or that kind of redundancy at the big position. But once you get to Bam and Whiteside can only play with Olynyk. They certainly cannot play with each other. There was a really good look at these stats from, I believe it's Locked On the Heat that does some podcasting and some website content as well. And the Bam-Whiteside combination is a catastrophe in terms of net rating, in terms of plus-minus. And then you look on Tuesday night, Bam Adebayo, who's one of your most promising prospects, plays just 7 minutes because you look at what Philly did. You know, Joel Embiid had some foul trouble, and they really were only playing one other big off the bench. That was, you know, either Rashawn Holmes or Amir Johnson. And so as more and more teams that you're going up against aren't playing that many bigs, aren't playing that many centers or power forwards, you're really limited in how, you know, how many minutes you can give to Adebayo and Olynyk. In terms of the aggregate of the three of them, Whiteside 34, Adebayo 7, Olynyk 25, so that's 66 minutes. So that's a pretty significant portion of the game that you're playing with two bigs on the floor. That's just not where the league's at. And so do you continue in that mold? I don't know. And so you have that conundrum. And then you have, you know, kind of when healthy, you have Ellington, Wade Magruder, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and you can kind of count Justice Winslow in that territory as well, if you want to call him a small forward. In terms of small ball forwards, you have both Winslow and James Johnson. To me, they would occupy a position, right? Johnson or Winslow would be playing your four for kind of 48 minutes and splitting those, but that's not how the Heat are working right now because they have to give minutes in other areas. And I think not that you're really rooting for injury, but an injury would kind of solve this problem. The Heat roster was always built to do a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 trade. The problem is that you just don't see teams that are willing to do that. And if you're doing the 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 trade, kind of like the Shaq trade that Miami did in 2003, you would probably, or 2004, I should say, that also includes a draft pick, right? And I think a lot of Heat fans just kind of ignore when you're talking about trying to solve this problem via a trade that, for the most part, these trades are done including draft picks. And so, yes, you kind of have those mid-level salaries a little bit higher than the mid-level exception in terms of, you know, $10 to $12 million players that are decent contributors. And for another team, maybe they'd want to flip one primary player for three decent players. That can work as a trade for other teams. But for that team, that's usually a kind of rebuilding move. And the Heat don't have rebuilding options to really offer in a trade other than Bam Adebayo. And at this point, I think if you're Miami, you want to hang on to Bam Adebayo. So that is how you solve that problem. But I don't know how it gets rectified, particularly when you're heading into year three of the Tyler Johnson contract, year four of the Goran Dragic contract. Justice Winslow is heading into the last year of his rookie deal. Do you extend him? And if so, at what price? Do you maybe say, hey, go to restricted free agency and see what you can get? I don't know. Rodney Magruder, I imagine, you know, his contract will be up soon in terms of the Heat needing to make a decision there, and he could probably get a decent amount of money somewhere else. Then, you know, Dwayne Wade, there was talk about him potentially not coming back, but I don't know. You made the trade. You gave up a second-round pick for him. Maybe you bring him back. I just think that the Heat right now are in a situation where the trade is the only way to solve their problems, and I'm not sure that that trade is out there. And so you look at Tuesday night, they play 11 guys. That's a lot of guys to be playing NBA minutes in terms of particularly when you're getting into the down-the-stretch portion of the season where that number starts to shrink rather than expand. And with Magruder coming back healthy, with Wade being traded in, that was already a pretty deep team that only gets deeper. But I'm not sure sort of when an NBA team crosses the point from deep to redundant. And I think the Heat at this point might be a little bit redundant, and that would be the concern right now if you're Eric Spoelstra. It does kind of get solved tonight, but almost to an extreme degree with Tyler Johnson coming off injured, Wayne Ellington coming off injured, and then you're kind of entering the evening going, what the heck are we going to do for three-point shooting? And so the Heat do kind of have an offensive struggle ahead of them tonight, and I don't think at this point you can take any game that they play for granted. Yes, you know, they beat Memphis, they come back to beat Philly, but unless you're playing these tanking teams, which you play Phoenix on Monday night. You're at the Kings coming up. You still have the Knicks to play, Chicago, Atlanta twice to play, and then the Knicks again on the road. So you maybe have six or seven of those games left. The rest of those are going to be competitive slogs. Home with Los Angeles tonight, then a really big one for both teams against Detroit on Saturday night. So The Heat right now are kind of entering a difficult stretch of the season, not totally at full strength, and even if they were at full strength, they're kind of entering a period of the year where they have lineup conundrums that they'll have to solve, and so that will be a curious one for Eric Spoelstra. We'll kind of follow we'll track the progress of their rotation tonight. My name is Chris Whittingham, in for Alex Dono. We got the Panthers and the New Jersey Devils coming up at 7:30 tonight. Panthers preview begins at 7 with Doug Plagans, Bill Lindsay, and myself. Live from BB&T Center this evening. Come in if you got a late night or maybe you don't have any plans this evening, come out to BB&T Center. Should be a fun time with the Panthers playing host to the Devils. Fourth of six straight games at home. Coming up next, we'll discuss the Houston Rockets, the incredible crossover from James Harden, and their potential to maybe win the NBA title this year. That's next year on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Can you dig it?
Dig it, sucker!
Sucker! Sucker!
Tito Banach, our producer this evening, just likes to produce the show without ever, without even running anything by me. So he just casually tosses out, "Hey, born today, Booker T." I'm like, first off, I don't know why I'd need to know that information. Second, I love it. Might be my favorite introduction in WWE. Can you play it again, Tito? This from the start.
Yeah, give me one sec.
All right, he's got to recue it. It's just, you know what? Maybe we can do this. Tweet to me at Chris Whittingham. Best entrances in WWE.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Sucker!
I don't know why. Can you dig it, sucker? It's just my absolute favorite. Now, the one that I can actually do verbatim is the New Age Outlaws one. You didn't know your bleep, better call somebody. I can do that whole routine. Yeah, it's actually not one that I grew up with because that would have predated me. Although they did come back for a brief run. I think they must have seen that I watched all the New Age Outlaws YouTube videos and hey, let's bring them back, because I think they had him one of those guys come out at the Royal Rumble, and then they kind of did it for 3 months, and they realized, oh yeah, there's a reason why we retired this. But best, obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin, that goes without saying, just kind of unmistakable ones. There's ones that once you hear John Cena's music or Triple H's music, but I don't view them as iconic. Iconic WWE entrances. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, and you can tweet me at Chris Whittingham. It's a tough one to spell, but if you just punch in Chris Whitty, it should come up. So we can do a text/Twitter feedback segment on that. So Booker T apparently celebrating a birthday today, and Tito decided, I'm gonna hijack the music today with a little Booker T music, and for that I appreciate him. All right, actually, we'll talk to Doug Plagans coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll do were you playing D-Generation X, Tito? Oh yeah, there it is.
You think that you're better?
This is a good one.
Well, you
when it comes to break
ready.
It down, here we go.
Bow to the masters.
Oh, I was a bit early.
Break it down.
There you go. Break it down. Fantastic. D-Generation X is a great one. Sprinkle those in over the course of the segment, Tito. But actually, so we'll talk to Doug Plagans in about 20 minutes from now. We'll get his thoughts ahead of the Panthers and the New Jersey Devils tonight. And that it should be a fun one tonight. Panthers in the middle of winning three games in a row. They'll go for a fourth tonight here at home in the middle of a six-game homestand. Then they're at Tampa next Tuesday. And then they'll be home for five more. So an opportunity to really make a chase for the playoffs. Right now they're 5 points out of the eighth and final playoff spot, which has been the mailing address around here for a while. But we're going to change that this year. The Florida Panthers are going to make the playoffs, I hope. And so right now they're on 64 points. The Columbus Blue Jackets hold that final playoff spot on a nice number of points. They're on 69 points. And so they hold that final playoff spot there. And the Panthers, though, have three games in hand. They've played three games fewer than Columbus, who are in Los Angeles tonight to take on the Kings. So we'll keep an eye on that one later on this evening. And the Panthers just got to keep winning, and then they'll have a chance to sneak their way in. So That is certainly something we will be watching this evening, the Panthers taking on the Jersey Devils. So talk to Doug Plagans about it. We'll get his thoughts tonight. But in sort of the interim, to me there isn't any one standout story in terms of things going on around the world of sports. So I just kind of wanted to talk about a variety of things here in this segment, kind of do a little bit of checking here and checking there. So we'll start first with the Houston Rockets, the viral moment of the NBA last night. James Harden crossing up Wesley Johnson. I actually happened to be watching the game, and Dave Pasch and Mark Jackson reacted in such a way that I had to rewind it on my DVR so that I can make sure that I saw this incredible move. Now, the entire time I'm watching, I'm thinking, well, he has to, like, forearm shove him or something. There's no way he just falls like that under of his own accord. And, yeah, it was a totally clean play. James Harden on kind of, you know, the edge of the three-point line, takes a step forward, does a crossover, leans his right shoulder in, pulls back out. Wesley Johnson goes flying the other direction, and then he pulls up from three to make it 31-7. The Clippers are still competing for a playoff spot, and Houston just went in and absolutely destroyed them last night. And while enjoying that bit of NBA fun last night was certainly entertaining, it does kind of remind you, oh yeah, Houston's, you know, they're coming this year. And I think one of the things I think was talked about when Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors was that it was going to ruin the NBA, that it was going to ruin the suspense, and you couldn't even talk yourself into any one of these other teams even having a chance in a series with the Golden State Warriors. And yet, every year we've done it. Right? So in 2015, when they won the league for the first time, they beat Cleveland in that finals. They went through a pretty tough series on the way to get there. Then in 2016, they lose to Cleveland. And the series before, they had gone 3-1 down to Oklahoma City. And so even while, you know, they won 73 games, you're still seeing them be vulnerable in the playoffs. And then last year, you know, it's for small snippets, right? But, you know, San Antonio was up big in that building before Kawhi Leonard goes out. And you're still thinking the entire, oh, you know, the Cavaliers, they just beaten them the year before. Even with Kevin Durant, they can keep this a series. So we haven't really seen, from a narrative point of view, it really be totally done and dusted. And then this season, what the Houston Rockets have done up there in terms of the best offenses to ever play in the history of the NBA by offensive rating, they're right there with the 86-87 Lakers. In terms of offensive rating, in terms of defense, they've actually climbed up the standings, too, in terms of being a pretty decent defensive team. When you look at their defensive rating, they're ninth in the league. For as good as they are at offense, that's good enough in terms of their offensive rating. And so Houston this season at, you know, 113.3 offensive rating, they can be one of the best offenses in the history of the league. And so you have that. You have the number of three-pointers that they'll take in a game. In terms of on average, they chuck up 42.5 threes per game and make 15.5 of them on average. That is the great equalizer. If you are good at the shot that is worth the most points, you have the great equalizer in a playoff series. And so you look at this Rockets team and you can say, oh yeah, they can get to the conference finals and compete with the Golden State Warriors because they have that offensive ability. And I really sort, and I'm not just doing this to try and talk myself into it, because, you know, there have been times where I've done this and, you know, I've kind of fallen flat on my face. Like, I'm reminded of the Atlanta Hawks, the year that they were tremendous in the regular season. They won more than 60 games. They faced Cleveland in the conference finals and got absolutely destroyed. But the difference is superstar players, because yes, you know, it's difficult to translate regular season performances into playoff performances, but the Houston Rockets have two playmaking, super-duper star players in James Harden, who could very easily be the MVP of the league, and Chris Paul, who can manage minutes when James Harden goes to the bench. The most important thing that Houston had to do was find a player that can take some load off of James Harden, because James Harden absolutely faltered in that San Antonio series in last year's Western Conference playoffs. And so they have that guy in Chris Paul. And I think it just kind of leads you to believe that Houston can do this. That Houston, when James Harden goes to the bench, they survive with Chris Paul. When Chris Paul goes to the bench, they survive with James Harden. Those two haven't had each other. They might not fit together perfectly stylistically in terms of, you know, when one has the ball, the other isn't doing what they do best. But they have 48 minutes covered in terms of quality playmaking on the floor, and they don't need to, you know, play 39 minutes a night to even survive in the regular season. They go 24 points up in the first quarter against the Clippers last night, and you can kind of cruise to victory at that point. It's not quite that massive exertion And they've done a decent job in terms of filling out that roster. So you look at that Houston team, they can be a real competitor in the Western Conference and give the Golden State Warriors probably the best series that they've been given since the Cavaliers in that finals when they won in 2016. So to me, I look at this upcoming NBA playoffs, and I do so with bated breath because there is a collision course of a series now. It might get derailed, although at this point the Rockets are so good, I'm not sure they can be derailed. When you look at right now the seeding in the West, it's Minnesota 3. And Houston, by the way, is on track to be the one seed. They're one up in the loss column on Golden State. They've won 14 in a row, and as I mentioned, score just as well as Golden State does. So Minnesota 3, San Antonio 4, New Orleans 5. Oklahoma City is all the way down to 7 in the West, although all those teams are kind of in and around the same position, super jam-packed in the Western Conference. And so, to me, Houston is kind of on this collision course with Golden State. I think they can do it, and I think they can give them a real series, and it would be really fun to watch. And if Houston has home court advantage even in that series, that would be really fun to watch. So that, for me, is the thing in the NBA season that I'm most looking forward to. I'm not sure really if there will not be a competitive NBA Finals, I think, this year. As much as I believe in Toronto, and again, it's easy to fall for the trap, but I believe in Toronto. They have the by far the best point differential in the Eastern Conference. I think Toronto will make the finals this year, but I just don't trust them to be competitive with either the Warriors or the Houston Rockets in the finals. You might get a token game here, a token game there. I think the NBA Finals is going to be terrible this year. It's the conference finals that you're looking forward to. And so in that Western Conference, I don't think there's really that much drama once you get to Houston, Golden State. In the East, the series are totally up for grabs because I think, realistically, Miami and Toronto, yeah, I would pretty heavily favor Toronto in that series. But if Miami, pushed it to 6 or even pushed it to 7, I wouldn't be that shocked. And so the East is kind of wide open in that regard. But really, the series that matters is the Warriors and the Rockets, and I think Houston has a legit chance to win it. In terms of other things going on in the world of sports, do we have another one, Tito? Jesus. Bursting through the glass. Goes without saying. Best WWE intros. You can send those on the text line, 56022. Of the ones that you enjoy the most. All right, so other things going on in the world of sports. I thought this was interesting today. The Miami MLS team, yet another sort of interesting report and another thing that I think this is what's frustrating to me, right? So the Miami Herald writes a story quoting Jorge Mas, the new majority owner of Miami MLS that is yet to be named, and it's basically saying that they're looking at potentially other sites to go and play their upcoming season at. They mentioned Marlins Park again. I would be stunned if they go down that road again, because on top of the fact that they have to basically push out private homeowners in order to build a stadium, homeowners who were jacking negotiations in terms of wanting the ownership group to pay a ton of money, they're basically under the control of the Miami Marlins if you build next to them. They get all the control of dates, and there's financial constraints you put on the team. I think that's off the table. But so they have this kind of section of Overtown right now that they've already privately purchased, and they're waiting for the regulatory process on a competitive bid to come in. In the interim, Jorge Mas is potentially looking at sites on the Miami River and in Doral. And so because he's not thinking necessarily that particular stadium site, all of a sudden is MLS going to happen? I am so tired of people who know nothing about Major League Soccer telling me, here's what's going to happen, and is this not going to happen? They were given expansion on that day at that press conference at the Arts Center. This is going to happen. They're going to kick off at a temporary venue in 2020. And just because they don't have their stadium sorted out for the opening day, Los Angeles FC is, with no question, the anomaly. They're going to play their first home game at their home stadium. But Atlanta United came into the league last year, and they're playing, and they played at a temporary venue, which is Georgia Tech Stadium. Minnesota United came into the league last year. They're playing 2 years at a temporary stadium before playing at their new home stadium in the Twin Cities. They're playing at the University of Minnesota Stadium. You just look up and down this league, and to me, NYCFC is still playing at Yankee Stadium, and they have no stadium plan. None. All of them have been killed by governments. You look up and down the MLS standing in terms of when these teams came into the league. Atlanta, you know, they're playing in Mercedes-Benz. They're playing at a college football stadium. You know, there's up and down the standings. You look, teams that have come into Major League Soccer this year, DC United is going into a new stadium. They're playing their first 14 games. I'm sorry, 12 of their first 14 games away from home. This is the status quo in that league. It's difficult to find stadiums. It's difficult to have them ready for day one. And so when the league comes out and they tell you you've been given expansion, they put Miami on their homepage as teams soon to be coming in the league along with Nashville, it's done. It's been given. Why is it that every time there's a story in the local press, we got to have the same agenda? Oh, is it going to happen? No, it's been 4 years, and maybe it'll be another, you know, four more. It's just, I don't understand why, just because, and look, I like the idea, because basically Jorge Mas is saying, you want to try different things, you want to have a bigger plot of land, we want to be tech savvy, we want to build a whole experience, and I'm not sure we have enough land in Overtown. Fine, but that doesn't mean that this isn't going to happen. I don't understand why there's that agita every single time we have one of these situations come up or any Miami Herald report. And Doug Hanks has done a terrific job and is basically the single source of information on this team so far. And it's been really enjoyable to follow. But, man, every single time with this thing, every single time. And I think that there has to kind of be a control on the narrative because it obviously, look, I'll criticize them in this respect. They earned this reputation in terms of having 4 years of false starts, three different venues that they've pitched. It's been held up in court. It took 4 years for them from them announcing that Miami was going to be an expansion city to actually confirming their expansion into the league. I get it, right? They've earned that reputation. But, man, every time with a new story, we got a question that it's going to happen. When the words came out of Don Garber's mouth, MLS, it will be coming to Miami as their 25th city coming in 2020. That's just... I get frustrated by it because obviously, you know, if anyone has followed any of my work, that's my, you know, that's my sport, and I'm really excited for this to happen. I'm excited for Miami to be a 5 pro sports city plus major college sports as well. So that's, you know, I think it's gonna be really great for the area, and it just bothers me every time that we have a new development in this thing that it's all of a sudden it's being killed. So that's my frustration. Quick venting. Coming up next, Doug Plagans and Jomi will do some crosstalk ahead of the Florida Panthers and the New Jersey Devils this evening from BB&T Center. Come back here on WQM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Is this also a birthday, Tito?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so Justin Bieber celebrating his birthday along with Booker T. So those are our two musical selections, Doug, today. We're birthday-related musical accompaniments. One, the Biebs. The other, Booker T. Were you a wrestling guy?
I was a wrestling guy. Yeah. I am a wrestling guy, yeah.
Oh, still am, yeah. So you can dig it. Sucka. Yeah.
Yep. I got to wish happy birthday to Manny Chang.
Manny Chang.
Since I just stepped on here for the first time this evening, happy birthday, Manny Chang, the great Manny Chang.
And you hooked him up with a thing on the video boards.
He's on the marquee. Big shout out to the Panthers game operations team here in the arena for getting that up there.
Yeah, so Doug Plagans will be on commentary tonight with the Florida Panthers and the New Jersey Devils live from BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida. Panthers riding a 3-game win streak. They're playing the 4th of 6 straight home games. They're at Tampa on Tuesday, another 5 at home. And this kind of run continues, Doug, these kind of must-win games in terms of wanting to get into that playoff position. 5 points off of Columbus, but 3 games in hand. We'll be watching that Columbus game tonight, this evening at 10:30.
Yep, they begin a tough trip out west, and the Panthers and the Blue Jackets do have one game head-to-head left on the schedule. That's on March 22nd, so obviously a pivotal one there. And the Panthers playing some good hockey. And, you know, this is a team, their path to the playoffs, as long as they go out and take care of business, they can make this happen. They're playing their best hockey of the year. They're continuing to develop and get better across the board, and they put together this streak here. They've won 3 in a row. They have a lot of home games coming up here, so a big opportunity for the Panthers to make a move. And I think a big thing here you're seeing with the Panthers, they're happy with their starts in games. They're getting great goaltending. They're getting a different hero every night, if you will. Jared McCann the other night in overtime. He had the hat trick from Dadonov over the weekend. So, you know, different guys stepping up across the lineup, getting big goals. And just in terms of being ready each night. The Panthers, they've been on this run here where they know that every game means so much, and they're playing against some of the league's best. I mean, tonight taking on a New Jersey team that's been in that playoff picture for virtually the entire season. The other night, Toronto, a team that that is pretty firmly entrenched right now.
Pittsburgh, Washington.
Pittsburgh, Washington as well. So it kind of helps, I'd imagine, every night when you're going up against other teams that are also in that playoff mindset. You know you got to bring your best. The Panthers certainly have brought theirs, and they've been rewarded for it. 10 of their last 13, they picked up wins.
In terms of the performances, you mentioned kind of how it's a different guy every night. It was Jared McCann the other night, but to me the thing that you kind of see is teams surviving close games. And obviously, you know, scoring's hard to come by. You're going to play in a lot of these close situations. You go 2-0 up on Toronto. They come back, but then you win the game in overtime. They really are managing these close situations pretty well.
Three straight wins, all of them by one goal, and really that's just kind of what happens at this juncture of the season. The games get to be harder to win as you head down the stretch and you head toward playoff time. It's no different in any of the other sports leagues. So the games get to be that much harder to win, especially when you're playing against other teams that figure to be in that mix when playoff time comes around. And the Panthers lately, they've been finding ways to grind out these wins in these tight games. The other night, no different, winning the game against Toronto in overtime, finding a way to win that game against Pittsburgh back on Saturday. So, you know, looking at the way these games have evolved as well, the Panthers finding ways to win different kinds of games. You know, they've won some close ones lately, but, you know, some high-scoring affairs, they've found ways to win those. Some tight ones, they found ways to come out with 2 points there as well.
Word on New Jersey in terms of what to expect tonight?
New Jersey is a team that, again, has been good all season long. Corey Schneider is their franchise goaltender. He's been out for over a month now with an injury. We're anticipating him being back between the pipes for them tonight. It'll also be the first game as a Devil for newly acquired bruising winger Patrick Maroon. He can score goals, and he's a big body out there, a guy that the Panthers will certainly have to keep an eye on. But it's a Devils team that puts together a really nice lineup, very balanced offensively and defensively. And Taylor Hall, can't forget to mention him. He's the hottest player in the National Hockey League. He's got a 15-game point streak intact. That's the longest such streak in the league for anybody this season. So he's been red hot, and the Devils have built up a nice record, 11 games over 500 as a result.
And a final one for you here. I was reading the clips ahead of this one, and they were talking about how Sasha Barkov is leading the NHL's forwards in minutes played, and how they're going to have to start working in rest days for him. I imagine that load only gets harder though as the season closes out.
And he's a guy who can handle it. He's just so big and strong out there, and again, he's been up and around and over 20 minutes pretty often this season. Vincent Trocheck right there behind him. They've logged a ton of minutes, and again, he's been the Panthers, you know, catalyst on offense and one of their best players on defense all season, and he's, you know, he can certainly handle the load. He's going to continue to shoulder a heavy load as this team makes a push for a playoff spot.
That push continues tonight from BB&T Center. We'll have live radio commentary here on WQAM. Doug Plagans, who's kind enough to join me for this final segment, will be on the call alongside Bill Lindsay, who is in the booth with us right now, has his Beautiful Mind notebook ready to go with all of his notes, all of his nuggets that he'll be providing over the course of the broadcast. That'll do it for this brief one-hour edition of the Alex Dono Show. Thanks, Tito Bonanch. Thanks to the birthday man, Manny Chang, in behind me. Coming up next, it is the Florida Panthers and the New Jersey Devils on 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.